Right now, in late 2026, there is a piece of silicon sitting in living rooms that draws like 250 watts of power. It literally hallucinates billions of pixels out of thin air in 2 milliseconds, and yet it is quieter than a whisper.
Yeah, it's honestly wild.
It is. Today, we are looking at the machine that is fundamentally rewriting the laws of physics in gaming. Welcome to this deep dive. We are at a pivotal moment right at the absolute midpoint of the ninth console generation.
Mm-hmm.
We are unpacking an exhaustive, massive new 2026 hardware analysis and buying guide published by Teakin Game. And the mission for you today is pretty straightforward. We are cutting through all the corporate marketing hype to conduct a rigorous professional comparison between Sony's highly debated $700 PlayStation 5 Pro and Microsoft's flagship Xbox Series X.
Because the dilemma you are facing as a consumer, you know, trying to navigate this hardware generation, it's incredibly real right now. We finally have these massive blockbuster games pushing architectural silicon to its absolute thermodynamic limit.
You know,
you really have to ask yourself if Sony Era's premium enthusiast tier hardware actually justifies that massive price tag.
Mm-hmm.
Or if Microsoft's overarching ecosystem offers a value proposition that just simply cannot be beaten.
Okay, let's unpack this, because before we look at frame rates or, you know, the financial economics of these machines, we have to look under the hood.
Exactly.
We need to understand the underlying mechanisms of how this hardware actually achieves its results. So let's start with the silicon architecture.
Yeah, so Sony's lead system architect, Mark Cerny, approached the PS5 Pro with what the Teakin Game analysis specifically calls a targeted triangular architectural enhancement.
A triangular enhancement.
Right. He didn't just like build a bigger box. He upgraded three specific pillars. You've got a massively expanded GPU footprint, highly advanced ray tracing hardware, and most crucially, custom machine learning silicon.
Let's break down that first pillar, the raw compute power. We are talking about custom AMD RDNA 3 architecture.
Right.
The base PS5, like the one you might have sitting under your TV right now, utilizes 36 compute units. The PS5 Pro scales that footprint all the way up to 60 compute units.
Yeah, which is huge.
It's a 67% physical expansion in the silicon. And the throughput jumps from 10.28 teraflops to 16.70 teraflops.
To contextualize that against the competition, you know, the Xbox Series X has been sitting pretty comfortably at 12.15 teraflops with 52 compute units since launch.
Right. So Microsoft had a distinct hardware advantage over the base PS5.
They did, yeah. But Sony owns a 67% leap with the Pro, completely leapfrogs the Series X in parallel math capabilities. Furthermore, Sony knew that if they added all these extra compute units, they needed a faster pipeline to feed them data.
Makes sense.
So they widened the memory interface, pushing the memory bandwidth to 576 gigabytes per second. That basically prevents those 60 CUs from ever stalling out while waiting for high-resolution textures to load from the system pool.
But I look at those numbers, right? 16.7 teraflops of raw processing power. And I kind of have to ask, why isn't that enough for native 4K anymore?
That's the big question.
Are developers just like getting lazy with unoptimized code and relying on software tricks to fix their games? Like, why do we even need the third pillar of this triangle, the PlayStation Spectral Super Resolution, or PSSR?
What's fascinating here is that it is not about lazy development at all.
Mm.
It is about the fundamental complexity of modern graphics.
Okay.
Raw rasterization, you know, just calculating where geometric polygons go and painting pixels on a screen, that is no longer the sole determinant of visual fidelity.
Mm-hmm.
Modern engines are processing real-time volumetric lighting, a complex fluid dynamics, incredibly dense global illumination.
It's just a lot more math.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If a developer attempts to render all of those environmental calculations natively at a 4K resolution, the frame rate instantly plummets, no matter how many teraflops you throw at it. Smart AI reconstruction is strictly required now. Yeah, it frees up the traditional compute units, allowing developers to spend their rendering budget on ray tracing and physics,
mm-hmm.
rather than just, you know, brute forcing pixels.
Which brings us to how PSSR actually functions, because this is where the comparison between the PS5 Pro and the Xbox Series X gets really stark, I think.
It really does.
Historically, and currently on the Xbox Series X, developers rely on heuristic upscalers, like AMD Urez FSR. And if you are listening to this, you probably know the visual artifacts those older upscalers cause.
Hey, absolutely.
If you've played a game recently and noticed shimmering on a chain link fence, or that weird smeared ghosting effect trailing behind a character's hair when they move the camera.
Yeah, that is the heuristic algorithm failing to guess what the next frame should look like.
Because
An algorithm like FSR is just following a rigid set of pre-programmed mathematical rules.
Right.
But PSSR replaces those basic rules with an offline trained deep convolutional neural network. Sony actually embedded a custom neural processing unit, an NPU, directly into the PS5 Pro's silicon.
That's crazy.
And it operates completely independently of the main GPU, delivering 300 TOPS of 8-bit AI compute.
Hold on. Explain the 8-bit compute aspect to me, because usually in tech, you know, higher numbers are better. Why is 8-bit AI compute specifically advantageous here?
Well, it really comes down to sacrificing unnecessary decimal precision for blazing speed.
Oh, okay.
When a neural network is trying to synthesize visual data, it does not require 32-bit floating point precision. It doesn't need to calculate 12 decimal places to decide what shade of gray a shadow on a concrete wall should be, you know?
That makes total sense.
Yeah, 8-bit math strips away that unnecessary precision, allowing the NPU to crunch those 300 trillion operations per second instantly.
So instead of an algorithm just mathematically stretching an image like the old way, PSSR is analyzing temporal data. Like, think of it like this. Instead of the old upscaling method, which was like taking a low-res photo and smudging it to make it bigger, PSSR is like handing a rough sketch to an AI master painter who fills in all the subpixel details in 2 milliseconds.
That is a perfect analogy. It calculates where an object is moving by analyzing the motion vectors, the color buffers, and the depth data, and it synthesizes the missing frames and subpixels flawlessly.
In the Tekken game dossier notes, it does this entirely within a 2-millisecond render budget per frame.
Yeah, it analyzes all of that temporal data 60 to 120 times every single second without ever taxing the main graphics processor.
Wow.
While the Xbox Series X is still dedicating its standard compute units to run AMD's FSR algorithms, the PS5 Pro completely offloads that task to the dedicated NPU.
Which perfectly transitions us into the telemetry data. We understand the architectural theory now, but we need to look at how this hardware actually performs in the wild when it is stressed by the absolute most demanding software of 2026.
Definitely.
If you are sitting there right now listening to this, looking at your launch day PS5 and wondering why a game like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth looks like someone smeared Vaseline over your screen in performance mode, well, this telemetry is going to explain exactly why.
The Final Fantasy VII Rebirth data is a prime example. On the base PS5, the game renders at a notoriously blurry 1152p internal resolution.
Right.
And it uses a basic anti-aliasing solution that completely softens the image. But the telemetry shows the PS5 Pro's PSSR completely eliminating that Vaseline smear. It uses the deep learning network to resolve those 1152p internal pixels into a locked, pristine 4K image at a flawless 60 frames per second.
But the absolute elephant in the room that everyone is looking at in the Tekken game analysis is Grand Theft Auto VI.
Oh, yeah.
This is the software that is going to define this hardware generation.
GTSI is an incredibly vital test case because it's bottlenecking systems in ways we just haven't seen before. Rockstar's proprietary Rage engine features massive open-world simulation budgets. I mean, the pedestrian AI density alone chokes traditional CPU pipelines.
Yeah, it's intense.
On the base PS5, the telemetry reveals the hardware really struggling under the weight of the simulation. It utilizes aggressive dynamic resolution scaling, dropping all the way down to a 1080p internal render just to maintain a baseline of 30 frames per second.
But when Tekken Game ran that exact same GTA VI sequence on the PS5 Pro, the results were staggering. The Pro leverages the NPU to process an internal 1440p frame buffer up to an ultra-crisp 4K presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't just bump the resolution, it sustains a fluid 60 frames per second. All while hardware ray trace water reflections and contact shadows remain fully enabled.
This is where we have to bring the Xbox Series X back into the equation, though.
Right.
While Microsoft's console has 52 compute units and 12 teraflops, it lacks that dedicated custom NPU.
Mm.
When the Series X attempts to run that same GTA VI sequence at 60 frames per second, it has to rely heavily on FSR to hit the target.
And that's where the artifacts come in.
It's exactly. The Tekken game data notes significant temporal ghosting on the Xbox side during high-speed driving sequences, simply because the heuristic upscaler cannot keep pace with the sheer amount of motion vector data Rockstar's engine is generating.
The dossier also highlights Alan Wake 2, showing the PS5 Pro delivering desktop-class ray-traced reflections and indirect lighting, you know, taking a 1260p internal render up to 4K PSSR at 60 FPS.
Yeah.
And for racing simulation fans, Gran Turismo 7 is unlocking a native 8K mode or a staggering 4K at 120 frames per second with in-race, car-to-car ray trace reflections fully enabled.
But generating those 4K textures is only part of the equation, right? You have to store and load them instantly.
Right.
High-resolution texture pools for these games are massive. That is why Sony made the architectural decision to include a 2TB Gen 4 NVMe SSD out of the box.
Which you absolutely need. Like, when you look at the storage footprint of modern titles, Call of Duty, Black Ops 6 regularly exceeds 200 gigabytes, and GTA VI is projected to hit 150 to 180 gigabytes at launch, easily.
Yeah, that 1.89 terabytes of usable space becomes a mandatory requirement, not just a luxury feature.
And downloading those massive 200 gigabyte files introduces another critical hardware upgrade, connectivity. The PS5 Pro integrates Wi-Fi 7 equipped with multi-link operation, or MLO.
So think of MLO like a dynamic multi-lane highway for your data packets.
Yeah.
If you are on a standard Wi-Fi network playing a game and the 5 gigahertz lane suddenly gets congested with network traffic or packet loss, your game lags.
Right.
But MLO allows the console to simultaneously transmit data across the 2.4, 5, and 6 gigahertz spectrums at the exact same time. If one lane chokes, the data instantly routes to the 6 gigahertz lane without you ever feeling a lag spike or a drop in download speed.
Which is absolutely essential for stability, especially if you are utilizing remote play on a PlayStation Portal where packet loss instantly ruins the visual experience. Here is where it gets really interesting for me, mechanically. We are talking about an incredibly dense piece of silicon. It is pulling 220 to 250 watts of continuous power under heavy ray trace workloads like GTA 6.
Mm-hmm.
You have a massive GPU, an NPU crunching 300 trillion operations per second. How is this chassis not physically melting or sounding like a jet engine taking off in your living room?
It all comes down to meticulous thermodynamic engineering. Sony completely redesigned the mainboard layout to manage the heat flux. They utilize a custom liquid metal thermal interface between the APU die and the heatsink, which conducts heat far more efficiently than standard thermal paste.
Okay.
And this is paired with a massive high-fin density copper heatsink and 120 millimeter low-noise centrifugal fan.
So it's actively pushing massive volumes of air through those dense copper fins.
Precisely. And the acoustic telemetry confirms that the engineering worked. Despite drawing 250 watts, the console remains at a whisper quiet 31 to 33 dBA from 2 meters away.
That's incredible.
It does not hit thermal throttling thresholds, even during marathon multi-hour gaming sessions.
So architecturally, the PS5 Pro is an absolute triumph of hardware engineering.
Yeah.
But we kind of have to pivot our analysis now, because knowing how the hardware works is only half the battle.
True.
We need to look at what it actually costs to access this tier of gaming. We need to break down the multi-year financial economics and the total cost of ownership between the PS5 Pro and the Xbox Series X.
Yeah, the upfront hardware costs are where Sony and Microsoft dramatically diverge.
Yeah.
The pricing architecture we are seeing here marks a major transition in how these corporations view hardware lifecycle economics.
Let's do the actual math on this jarring price differential. The base digital PS5 Pro is $699.99 in the US. In Europe, it sits at 799 euros and 699 pounds in the UK.
Right.
But crucially, it does not include a disc drive. If you are a physical media collector or you have a massive library of used games, snapping on that modular disc drive costs another 80 bucks. You want to stand the console up vertically. That plastic stand is another $30. So before you even calculate sales tax, the true, uncompromising enthusiast package is roughly $810.
Meanwhile, Microsoft's flagship Xbox Series X has stubbornly maintained its accessible price point of $499 for the 1TB edition, which includes the physical disk drive out of the box.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Even if you opt for their specialized 2TB digital-only Series X, it sits at $599.
Right.
You are looking at a minimum $200 to $300 upfront difference before you even purchase a single game.
So what does this all mean for the listener's wallet? Like, If I am looking at this from a consumer standpoint, I have to ask, are we saying Sony is just price gouging, or is there a fundamental difference in what these companies are selling?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it reflects two completely diverging corporate philosophies. Sony has firmly positioned the PS5 Pro as an uncompromising piece of luxury consumer electronics.
A luxury item.
Yeah.
Right. They are selling a premium, bespoke, cinematic hardware experience. Microsoft, conversely, is utilizing the Xbox Series X as an affordable hardware gateway into a high-value software subscription service.
Let's dig into that subscription divide because it completely alters the total cost of ownership over a 3 or 4 year lifespan. Sony's economic model still fundamentally relies on you purchasing $70 to $80 prestige exclusive titles.
Exactly.
Games like Death Stranding 2, Ghost of Yotei, or Marvel's Wolverine. These titles are meticulously engineered to exploit the specific hardware quirks of the PlayStation architecture, but they are not included on day one in the PlayStation Plus Extra or Premium subscription tiers, which already demand between $135 and $160 bucks a year.
Yeah, you are paying the subscription fee plus the $80 premium for the software. Microsoft counters that economic model entirely with Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, which runs $20 a month or roughly $240 a year.
Right.
Microsoft has spent years leveraging massive studio acquisitions, you know, Activision Blizzard, Bethesda, Obsidian. So your subscription grants you immediate day one access to an immense portfolio of heavy-hitting software.
You are getting Call of Duty, Black Ops 6, Doom, The Dark Ages, Indiana Jones, and Fable the exact second they launch.
And that alters the math significantly. For a player who consumes 4 to 6 AAA releases annually, the mathematical efficiency of Game Pass Ultimate amortizes the upfront hardware cost of the Xbox Series X incredibly quickly. The overall cost of ownership over a 3-year window heavily favors Microsoft's ecosystem.
But there is one more critical economic factor the Taken Game dossier points out, and honestly, this is the kicker. It is what they refer to as the display imperative.
They hit a display tax.
Use and display tax, yeah.
This is an absolutely vital, often overlooked variable in the buying process. If you purchase an $810 PS5 Pro setup and plug it into a legacy 4K 60Hz LCD television that lacks HDMI 2.1 bandwidth, you are fundamentally throttling the hardware you just paid for.
Because think of the HDMI connection like a data pipe. Older televisions use HDMI 2.0, which is essentially an 18 gigabit per second pipe, but the PS5 Pro is generating 4K graphics at 120 frames per second.
Right.
You are trying to shove 48 gigabits of data through an 18 gigabit pipe. The console literally has to throw away half the frames it generates because they physically will not fit through the connection to your screen.
Exactly. To unlock the visual return on your hardware investment, your display must feature a full 48 gigabit per second HDMI 2.1 interface.
Got it.
Furthermore, you need hardware-level variable refresh rate, or VRR. VRR physically synchronizes the television's refresh rate to the exact frame output of the console, ensuring that when a game fluctuates between 70 and 90 frames per second, you never experience screen tearing or jitter.
That makes sense.
You also require auto low latency mode to minimize input delay.
The buying guide specifically points to high peak luminance OLED or QD OLED panels like the LG C4 or the Samsung S95D as the definitive reference standard.
Yeah, they are stunning.
You need those near instantaneous pixel response times to handle the motion clarity and the individual pixel illumination to properly showcase the hardware ray traced specular highlights.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not have a modern display of that caliber in your living room, you are staring down a $1,200 to $2,500 invisible tax just to optimize your setup for the PS5 Pro's capabilities.
Which brings us to the ultimate verdict.
Yeah.
When we synthesize the granular telemetry data, the silicon architectural leaps, and the multi-year economic realities, how should you actually navigate this market in late 2026?
Taken Game laid out a fantastic strategic purchasing matrix to answer that exact question. Let's break it down into three specific consumer profiles directly for you listening right now so you can determine exactly where you stand.
Okay.
Profile A, you are the uncompromising visual purist. You already own a high-end HDMI 2.1 OLED display. You prioritize high-fidelity single-player cinematic titles, and you flatly demand a 60 frames per second floor for upcoming simulation-heavy games like GTA 6.
If Profile A describes your gaming habits, you should buy the PS5 Pro, without question. Thanks to the PSSR integration and the 60 compute units, it is the undisputed champion of living room performance for that specific demographic.
Then there is Profile B. You are a current base PS5 or PS5 Slim owner, And critically, you are playing your games on a standard 60Hz TV or perhaps an older 1440p computer monitor.
For Profile B, the definitive verdict is to hold or skip.
Skip it.
Yeah. Unless you're also actively planning to spend the money to upgrade your display to a high-end OLED with VRR capabilities, the perceptual jump in image fidelity simply does not justify the $700 to $800 net upgrade cost. Your current base PS5 is perfectly adequate for a 60Hz display.
Finally, we have Profile C. You are the value-conscious content consumer. You want access to the widest possible catalog of AAA gaming releases at the absolute lowest multi-year financial cost.
If you fit Profile C, you should buy the Xbox Series X. The combination of the $500 upfront hardware cost and the immense software library provided by the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate ecosystem provides a cost per hour return on investment that Sony's current business model just cannot match.
So structurally, it really comes down to a choice of values. You are deciding between uncompromised, luxury visual fidelity powered by dedicated AI silicon or widespread, highly accessible software variety subsidized by a massive corporate ecosystem.
It really does boil down to that core choice. But before we wrap up this analysis, there is one final lingering detail from the Ticking Game Report that raises a profound question, a question that extends far beyond the hardware landscape of 2026.
Oh.
Yeah, we have just spent this deep dive detailing how Sony utilized a 300 TOPS neural processing unit to fundamentally decouple game rendering from visual output.
Right, the PSSR technology, utilizing an AI neural network to act as the architect, drawing the missing pieces of the frame.
Think about the trajectory of that specific technology. If a dedicated AI chip can synthesize a pristine, pixel-perfect 4K image from a low-resolution internal render today, operating within a 2-millisecond window,
yeah,
what does this mean for the PlayStation 6 or the next generation of Xbox hardware?
Wait, really? Oh, wow, when you put it like that.
We are rapidly approaching an inflection point. Will future consoles even require massive, expensive arrays of traditional compute units?
That's a good point.
Or will gaming hardware eventually evolve into just a highly specialized AI neural engine? We could see a future where the console isn't meticulously calculating lighting bounces polygon by polygon, but is instead hallucinating the graphics in real time based on underlying developer prompts and motion vectors.
That changes the entire paradigm of hardware engineering. You wouldn't need to physically render a virtual world. You would just need an AI model, intelligent and fast enough to dream it up at 120 frames per second.
Exactly.
The hardware wouldn't be constrained by teraflops anymore. We are stepping into some truly wild, uncharted territory for the future of the medium. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of 2026, and we'll catch you on the next one.